Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airwaves once again on this evening, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle. I hope and I pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. I hope and pray that you had a beautiful day, hallelujah, and that you didn't encounter, you know, I know somewhere around the world somebody has had some devastation in their life, but for the most part, I hope and I pray that you had a beautiful day on today. And to those of you that have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, 8 hours ago, seconds ago, I just want to send condolences out to you, you and you, and to let you know that we are praying for you and with you in your hour of bereavement. Hallelujah. And so I just want to thank you for allowing me into your work area. I want to thank you for allowing me into your living room space. And I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. And I want to take this opportunity at this time when we come across these airways. We cease to fail to acknowledge our spiritual Savior. His name is Jesus. So I want to introduce the psalm, hallelujah, and present to others. He's a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem. And we want to take this opportunity at this time to bow our heads down in prayer and give him thanks. So I'm asking those of you that are listening live at this time to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. For we know that this earthly soil that we are treading on is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have already lined in waiting a beautiful place that's not built by the hand of man. But you are the builder and you are the architect. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we will continue in your will. We will continue in your way, uniting, God, from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Lord, enable me to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you and the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. Father God, we won't take your glory. We won't take your praise. But you'll give you the honor that's due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And let the temple say amen and amen. I will be with you 1 hour on tonight. We are now into 52 seconds counting down into our program. So we're not going to waste any time because I know that my program was scheduled to be a little earlier, but because of my sleep apnea, I go to sleep at various times of night and day. Sometimes I stay up all night, stay up all day, going into another day. But we know God is able. But I have the time that God has allowed me, and that's right here and right now. So we're going to go right now on into a program that's already in progression. And we're going to start from our first key scripture on tonight. And it reads like this. Command those who are rich to trust in the living God, who give us richly all things to enjoy. That scripture reading is coming out of the law. First Timothy 6 and 17. We're going to move on down to our second key scripture on tonight. And it reads like this. You eat, but you do not have enough. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earned wages to put into a bag with holes. That scripture reading coming out of Haggai 1 and 6. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. You know, I'm surrounded every day by things that don't belong to me. And I know you are encountering that same thing. Things that do not belong to me. But yet I call them mine. For instance, I refer to my computer as I am using the Hewlett Packard. Hallelujah. And we know that we use this every day in our everyday lives. I talk about my office, the office that I use to bring about this program. I talk about my desk, which house my computer and various books and tablets. And I talk about my phone that I use to communicate each and every day. But none of these equipments belong to me. It's mine to use, but not mine to keep. Hallelujah. We know that this kind of situation is not unique to employees or employers. Relationships, that's the way it is with all of us and all of our things. We call them our own. When we speak of our family, we speak of our house, we speak of our car, we are speaking of people and things. But God has allowed you and I to enjoy while here on earth. But they really do not belong to us. Notice the psalmist's phrase to God. So the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. That scripture reading is coming out of law of Psalms 89 and 11. Understanding who really holds the title to all we possess should change our thinking. Hallelujah. So we should be aware that everything we have is given to us to serve the Lord. Do you know that parents, your mother and your father, are alone? Do you know that your children that God has able you to conceive, those that have been adopted into your life, are loans? Do you know that the house that you lie down and you go to sleep every night in is a loan? The automobile that you drive every day across the highway and across the road and the avenues are a loan. The money that you have in the vault inside of the bank is a loan, because its actual owner is Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that the things that God has given us, we are to use it for his glory and his honor. May it be our time and our talent. Our possessions are all on loan from God. So we can do his work and do his will effectively. God's grace sustains the gift of life. It's labor and reward. What we possess is not our own. It all comes from the Lord. So we know that all we own is really on loan from God. Hallelujah. So we know that it's nothing wrong with having wealth, nothing wrong with having royalty, nothing wrong with having a good life, nothing wrong with any of those things. But we are not supposed to allow these things to contaminate our heart and our mind, and that to be the total person of us. Because the word of God tells us that when we come here with nothing. We was naked. We wasn't even clothed. Until someone in some hospital wing, some nursery room, clothed us with maybe a t-shirt and a diaper. So we really come here with anything. But whatever God has allowed you and I to have that's on loan, it's not really ours. Say, well, that's my house. That's my car. That's my son. That's my daughter. I'm guilty of that myself. But one thing that I am assured of, that I know, it's all on loan. It's on lease. It's temporary. Because the Bible says that we come here with anything. And it's most assured that we're going out that same way. We're leaving out with absolutely, positively nothing. Hallelujah. And we're told that the Israelites, hallelujah, who had returned from Babylon, discovered that man cannot find happiness when he lives only for him or herself. They ignore the fact that God's temple has not been rebuilt, but gave themselves to the construction of fine houses and completely occupied themselves with materialistic things. Yet their harvests were poor, their clothing inadequate, and their wages did not keep pace with rising costs. That scripture reading again is coming out of the law of Haggai 1 and 6. We're told that the prophet told them they were reaping a harvest of unhappiness. They were putting selfish pleasure first. God had made us in his own image and for his own glory. We can never find true joy until we obey Christ's admonition and seek him first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 6 and 33. Only then will we sow and reap abundantly and eat and truly be filled. We know that our emptiness of life without the Savior, nothing worthy here can truly satisfy. We can only reap a harvest that abundance, serving Jesus as the self we daily die. We know that selfish gratification will lead to spiritual stagnation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. We read in the book of in the book of Mark. Mark 12. And the Bible talks about Jesus getting excited. And he was not concerned. not concerned about gas prices going up or down. But he was concerned with the lost coin. He was not interested in great flocks of sheep, but he was interested in one lost lamb. He was not impressed with people who were in position of power and importance in society, but with people who had the humility to help a beaten down stranger or wash another's feet. Jesus always got excited when people managed their resources in such a way that placed greater value on faith than on possessions, or accomplishments. And we read in Mark about the widow that demonstrated the kind of stewardship that got God excited. She went to the bedroom and put in two copper coins worth less than a penny. We're told that Jesus got excited because she gave without reservation all that she had. When I read this passage, I wonder sometimes what she was thinking when she made this supreme sacrifice. Was she simply doing her duty as a faithful Jew? Was she making an investment expecting a return? Or perhaps she was making a play for sympathy through a show of her impoverishment. I suspect that she did it because somewhere in her life, she had come to a clear understanding that regardless of her circumstances, she was richly blessed by God in many ways. Her best response to God's love and blessings was to make the supreme sacrifice. She casted it all that she had, even all her living. Verse 44. We know that Jesus commanded the widow not for the amount that she gave, but for the general spirit in which she gave it. And this should challenge you and I and us to make the appropriate response to all that the Lord has done for you and I and us. At the core of our thinking must be the knowledge that all we have and are going to have and accomplish in this life, it comes from the Lord. Therefore, we should be ever mindful that because God demonstrated great love to you and I and us, we must also demonstrate love and sacrifice to others so that God's kingdom will be built up and the good news will be spreaded abroad. Hallelujah. We know that stewardship in the community of God, this stewardship is the art of managing property owned by another. We know that the early Christians knew that all they were and all that they had belonged to God. In fact, stewardship was their lifestyle. We know that the stewardship of the gospel is the basic of stewardship in the body of Christ. What the apostles had received, they freely gave. The apostles preached the word and baptized those who received the word. Those who received the word were devoted to the apostles, and they continue in fellowship. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Acts 2:41-42. Stewardship of possessions and money. The believers sold their individual properties and possessions and held all things in common. That's verse 44-45. No one claimed anything individually. Even money itself was given to the apostles to be distributed to the needy. We know that stewardship of prayer and praise and worship, the members of the church was continually devoting themselves to the breaking of bread, to praying and praising God, and continue to meet together in the temple's court. That's coming out the verse of 42 and 47. Hallelujah of Acts. We know that stewardship of witnessing. Many men and women were added to their numbers as they went out to the cities in the Jerusalem vicinities and brought them into the kingdom of God. We know that stewardship of obedience, even though the believers were persecuted for the preaching of the gospel, as they are today, we are persecuted every day around the world for preaching the gospel. But the word of God says that when you've done all you can do to stand, keep on standing. Don't worry about your haters. Don't worry about your perpetrators. But you worry about God. Who will be the man in power on that great getting up morning when you stand before the judgment seat of God? There will be no excuses. God, I didn't have a church to preach out of. God, I didn't have an automobile to drive, go to church. God, Sister Jones didn't pick me up, and Brother Jones passed by my house. They didn't take me to church. God, I didn't have any money to give in the offering. That's the reason I didn't go. I didn't want to be ashamed because I know everyone else had money and I didn't have anything. Hallelujah. I didn't have a dress to wear. I only had pants. I didn't have one dress, one skirt to wear to church. So I didn't go. God, I know you blessed me with wealth. You blessed me with materialistic things. But yet I kept all of those things unto myself. I closed my hand when I should have had my hand held open, but I had a shut fist. So in doing so, when one has a closed fist, nothing can come in and nothing gets out. But on that great getting up morning, there will be no excuses. There will only be these words that will make the difference in our lives. Good and faithful servant, or depart from me. Those will be the words that will be spoken on that great day. Hallelujah. And we know, like I say, people of God, believers everywhere, anywhere, in the crack and in the crevice, in the valley, on the mountaintop, are being prosecuted every day. But if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We know that believers are prosecuted for the preaching of the gospel, but continually to proclaim till Jesus comes, because they were determined to obey God rather than man. That scripture reading is coming out of law of Acts 5:17-37. We know that the actions of the first century Christians can inspire you and I in today's world, in today's society. God's plan for his people has not changed. In an ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to infuse your mind. Hallelujah. And as I have brought the word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf. You are encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal, Digital, Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. This program presented tonight has been the old ship of Zion. You're encouraged to send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1500, Gilroy, California, 95020. And we know that our web address is www.JaniceWardMinistries.org. I think We have someone in the studio at this time. Hallelujah. Greetings.
Brilliant. You're absolutely brilliant, and that's why I listen to you.
Greetings.
Hello, this is Michael Caine, legend of stage and screen.
Hello.
I'm Mike. You are on a roll.
Greetings. Hello? All right, well, we're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now bring you Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. To uplift your spirit and to encourage your heart. Until we meet across these skyways and airways, you're encouraged, people of God, to go in God. Continue your walk with God. Don't let nobody turn you around. Keep your hand on the plow and dare to look back. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you be blessed. Whatever you want God to do for you in your family circle, just ask in his name. God said that we have not because we ask not. So just ask in his name, and ye shall have it according to your asking. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program, bringing you Hymns of Zion. Be blessed. Bye for now.
Yeah. Me through the things I got myself. And now I sit back and wonder, how can I make it without you? How can I do it without you? So I realize that
it's just a manifest. It's just so heavenly. No one can deny that you're the one.
working through me so I can be what you call me. It's not the faith I reach word in. Only claim my blessings. And with my whole heart, I will worship you. Forces wake me up. Loving the morning star that brings light and hope for me. Lord, I really need you. And I love my love, baby.
Because my God has been so real. He'll never leave me unforsaken. When I'm a little stressed out from a fight, I don't let you Thank you. Thank you.